Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Monday, September the 11th, 2023. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tim with Ed and Steve Jordahl. Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yeah, good morning.
Donning the plaid.
It is a little bit plaid today, yes.
Steve, checkerboard.
Checkerboard.
No, yeah. Jordahl right now.
Yeah, I found some pants that I hadn't worn in a bit, and I'm getting tired of wearing black and jeans and everything, so I have some khakis on.
Do you have any short-sleeve shirts?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
What do you wear them, like on Thursdays in October or something?
Fridays, because Friday's my casual Friday.
Oh, casual Friday.
I have my own casual Friday. I have my own dress-down day here at
So you go
AFA.
Shorts.
I'm not. Boy, you're just. That, was, you know, that sounded very judgmental on my part. I didn't mean it for it to be. It was just a question. Because I don't know that I remember seeing, you know, in a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, we don't see each other a whole lot on Fridays. But on Fridays, they tend to dress down. And if I'm going someplace. So lately, I have been, some of my clothes that I would maybe wear and dress down, like jeans and everything, we've been painting. At home, we've been painting walls at home, and so some of the stuff is, you know, I've dedicated to wearing while I paint. Not stuff that I necessarily wear here, but some of the more casual stuff I have. Let me tell you something about painting walls. I love my wife to death. We must have gotten 3 or 4 different, you know, test colors to put them on the wall. Let's go with this one. We paint a wall. She sits back, looks at it, and goes,
"Oh no,
no, not sure that that's it." We've got a whole, like, a lot of walls to paint. So then, okay, so we take our whole big paint back to Lowe's and have them add some white and to lighten it up, put it up there. Not sure that's gonna do it. So, man, I got to tell you, painting it's a chore.
That's why
I like the way you put it off on painting. Itself. It's not my wife can't make up her mind. It's driving me nuts. You change that to
painting.
I'm not sure if painting
I'm not stupid.
Huh?
I like dinner rest of them.
Right. Oh, the joys of painting. Painting to so you just got to get that color just right.
Well, yeah.
The color tint.
Yeah.
Go with khaki.
Khaki.
That works for everybody.
She wants some kind of shade of green. Yeah. So.
All right, Steve. Well, good luck with that, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's move on to some softer news.
Yeah. Right.
Rather than.
Hey, can I introduce a story?
I don't know.
We talked.
My job, you know.
At the end of the last segment with Fred, we were talking about schools and this Christian school outside, yeah. I think in Virginia. That is open, brand new, and 500 applications people wanting. Well, I just want to mention this story in connection with this whole thing about schools. The president of the Chicago Teachers Union, all right, Stacy Davis Gates, has received a lot of blowback because she has decided to not send her oldest son to the Chicago Public Schools. Okay, again, she's the president of the Chicago Teachers Union. She admitted this with a local radio station, WBEZ. She says that the public schools in Chicago, where her son would go, do not offer enough courses. They don't offer soccer, which is what he wants to do. And in the past, now she's going to send her son, her and her husband are sending her son to a private school, which she has in the past said, quote, this is from one of her tweets, "School choice is actually the choice of racists. It was created to avoid integrating schools with black children." Huh. And yet here she is sending her son to one of those quote-unquote racist private schools. But there is outrage in Chicago because the head of the Chicago Teachers Union, she's being called a hypocrite because the public schools are lousy. She has made school choice an enemy, and now she is using her school choice to send her son to a private school.
Rules for thee, but not for me.
I've never heard of that.
Well before. Said, as you would say, bingo.
Yeah, bingo. So what's her name?
Stacey Davis Gates.
Oh, this is a beautiful story.
It is.
She's the president of the Chicago Teachers Union.
Yep.
And so they're completely against private education because it's a challenge to public education. That's the way they view it.
And they don't want school choice.
Correct. They don't want school choice. But for her, she wants school choice.
Yeah.
Why? Because her son wants to play on an elite soccer team, as I understand it. And also, the education's better. Well, guess what? What's her name?
Stacey Davis Gates.
Guess what, Miss Stacey
Davis Gates.
Davis Gates. That's the reason everybody chooses private schools.
Right.
Is because they want more opportunities, a better education, a safer environment.
Right.
Especially in Chicago, for goodness sakes. So I guess she's a racist now. By her own definition, am I right?
By her own definition. Definition.
She's supporting a racial institution.
Yep. So anyway, I thought
this, yeah, that's funny.
I thought this is one of those kinds of things.
That's how the left operates. They just pontificate on issues until it affects them.
Right.
And then reality sets in. As you say, Ed, reality is a harsh teacher.
Yeah.
There was another story related to this. Liberal hypocrisy. Type in Minnesota councilwoman.
Are you doing it, Steve? I'm not going to do it because
Minnesota councilwoman carjacked. See what comes up.
And then after you get done doing that, Steve, type in the distance between Morocco and Spain.
Got it.
And see what
we did that last hour.
I remember this story.
Okay, what comes up when you Google that?
The leader of the Minnesota DFL, which is the farmer, the Democrat Farming League, or whatever the L stands
for.
It's
a far-lefty political group.
It's the Democrats in Minnesota. the head of there, her name is Shivanti Satranandan.
Uh-huh.
And she says that her car was violently carjacked in Minnesota, and she is now
at her house.
Yes, with her kids in the car.
Yeah,
and she wound up bleeding.
It was a violent attack, and she is now profusely thanking the police and demanding that these thugs be held accountable. It wasn't a year ago that she, during the George Floyd riots, said, and I quote, "We are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department."
Yeah. So after the George Floyd incident, that may have been 2 years ago, she was all defund the police. Yeah. She was a defund the police lady.
Yeah. Big time.
And now, because she's been carjacked at her house in front of her kids, she's lucky she's alive, actually. Now she's all of a sudden pro-police. And she wants something done to get these thugs off the street, as Steve said. So, again, it's easy to be a liberal when it's in theory, right? But
yes.
when the what's the old saying? A conservative is a liberal with teenage daughters.
Yeah, or a conservative is a liberal.
It's been mugged.
It's been mugged.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the mayor of New York City.
Yes, that's right.
There you go. Another liberal hypocrite.
Yep.
You know, they,
sanctuary city until they actually start coming in by the bus.
Right, and then they go, we can't take any more. Wait a minute, you're a sanctuary city.
Yep.
You want Texas to have to take all of them, huh? Our Arizona.
Yep.
All the people who are coming here over the border illegally. Listen, the Democrat Party, they brought this on themselves because they don't believe in. At least they don't believe in, they believe, like AOC, that everybody in the world ought to be able to come to America and not be stopped.
Right.
That's their political ideology. Not everybody in the Democrat Party subscribe to that, but the majority of them do.
The leadership certainly does.
I guarantee you, in New York City, they're being overwhelmed right now. They really are. In fact, the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, the Democrat, said our city will be destroyed.
Yep.
Because this is an unsolvable problem. If these migrants keep flooding our city, you know, and we have to take care of them. That's what he said last week.
Yeah. And they're housing them in hotels and health clubs, I mean, you know, high class joints.
Right.
But this is what he said in response to this. He's blaming the quote madman in Texas, end quote.
Yes.
He's blaming Governor Abbott for people coming to because they're getting on buses from Texas in a lot of cases going to New York
City.
No, it's not the madman in Texas. It's the if you want to call him a madman with respect to open borders. It's the madman in your own political party who controls everything,
right,
having to do with immigration, which is Joe Biden in the White House, but he don't want to blame him.
Biden in the White House, his policy is let them come in, we'll set them up with a date, then we'll let them go, and they can go wherever they want. We'll send them where they want. They want to go to New York City, and I mean, who wouldn't? It's the, you know.
I wouldn't.
Well, yeah. But
so, No, for a lot of them, they go to New York because it's multicultural.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are friends of friends or family of family who you might be able to
get
a job with.
Plus, you can disappear.
The point is, Abbott is not sending them there.
Well, also, they know, these people know, when they cross the border, if they go to New York City, they are a sanctuary city, and they're forced by law to take care of them.
Right.
So they have an incentive for going to New York. I don't know, Chicago, I think, maybe Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. But these liberal mayors and governors who used to look down on Texas and say, quit being bigots, let everybody come into your state, quit complaining. Now when they flood their cities, they go, wait a minute, we can't take all these
right.
people. Well, that's what Texas and Arizona have been saying for years. So anyway,
New York City can't handle it. What about like El Paso?
Yeah.
Or Brownsville.
They don't care about them because they're in a red state.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't care about them. So it's, again, reality's a harsh teacher. And these, in Chicago, they're housing these migrants in O'Hare Airport, some of them. Have you seen this?
Behind a black curtain or something? Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell you another thing. I thought about this the other day. This is summertime or the end of summertime.
Yeah.
So you can hang out on the street. You get to December, January, February in Chicago and New York, places like that, it's going to be brutal trying to keep these hundreds of thousands of people
alive.
Alive. And housed and fed.
Right.
But the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, that's a quote he used the other day. He said, I've always had solutions to problems as a leader, but I don't have a solution to this one. Talking about these.
Well, he doesn't, but Joe Biden does. And he needs to not rail against quote unquote the madman in Texas. He needs to get the president and the flag bearer of his political party to start solving the problem. And there's only one way to do it. That's to shut down that border and then make sure that everyone who's here illegally gets removed.
You know Biden's latest plan, though, right? It's a stay in Texas plan. He wants either Congress to act, or he's going to unilaterally, you know, through executive order, make a rule that says these migrants, you know how President Trump said they had to remain in Mexico?
Yeah.
He wants them to come in, but he wants them to remain in Texas.
That's not going to work.
He can't do that.
His plan is, which will allow
that is the problem with the far left, of which Joe Biden is a part,
yeah.
is they don't care about the law. They don't care about the Constitution. But once you're in this country, you have freedom of movement. But you can't. He has as much chance legally of pulling that
That's
off.
That's not going to work.
As saying that a citizen of the United States who lives in Dallas is not allowed to leave the state. You can't do that.
Yeah, and by the way, these folks who are going to New York that are coming across the border from around the world, I might add, not just Latin American countries or Mexico, they're coming from around. It's a cottage industry now.
Right.
They voluntarily get on these buses.
Yes.
Nobody's forcing them with a gun to their head saying, get on the bus, go to New York or Chicago. Right. They're going on their own for the reasons we mentioned earlier. Many of them have family, friends. They know that people speak Spanish there in those big cities. So nobody's forcing the madman in Texas. That's so ridiculous that he just doesn't want to blame his own president for being the reason why these millions of people.
Right.
And there's no stopping him, too, unless he's defeated. The Biden I'm talking about, he's not going to do anything to stop this. And you know, I've said this before, and I hate to say it, but you have a major political party in this country, the Democrats. They don't care anything about stopping illegal immigration. They really don't. I mean, Eric Adams is only complaining because it affects his own city.
Right.
Joe Biden said he welcomes the surge to the border.
Well, he's getting it.
Yeah.
He's got it. Next story.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on in Hawaii. The last we heard with the fires in Maui, the last official death toll is at about 120, I believe. But there's still over 1,000 people that are missing. Whether or not they'll recover enough material to identify any of them is doubtful, but but a lot of people are being very critical about the response of Hawaii and then the federal government, not necessarily FEMA, but you remember President Biden who couldn't decide to go there and everything. But there is a lot of question about what happened here. There were some power lines that were not maintained. There was a whole lot of undergrowth that wasn't trimmed. There was a lot of signs that there was a danger here, and they knew about it. Well, a reporter asked the governor of Hawaii a little bit about this. His name is Governor Josh Green. And the reporter said, hey, look at all this stuff. You've just laid out a whole bunch of problems. Are you going to apologize for it? Listen to Cut 9.
I just was writing this list of the very things that you just said. All of these things were known, the risk was known before. And the failure to prevent, the failure to plan, the failure to manage even the laws that we had on the books, the failure to respond as the conditions changed that day, the failure to act quickly when the spark had struck. You know, and I think that what we're hearing from viewers is that at this stage, a month out, are there things for which the public deserves an official apology from someone for all of these things being missed and leading to this thing?
Look, I can't speak to when people will apologize for this tragedy. I mean, I'm heartbroken, and I will tell you and anyone out there, I am so sorry that you went through this. It's the world that has to apologize for what we have become, which is we have become a world where we turned our backs on global warming and we didn't prioritize things in advance.
Yeah, it's not global warming, Governor.
Well, that all the news that I've seen since this fire has demonstrated that it was not climate change or global warming. This appears to have been a series of miscalculations and some incompetence and a failure to act in a way that would have possibly prevented this. Yep. You never know. I don't want to assign 100% blame, but it sure is convenient to have a boogeyman like climate change or global warming as the thing that you blame every time something happens that you should have prevented. And Josh Green has been the governor of Hawaii since last year, 1 year in. So it wasn't just his fault, but.
Yeah, no. And there's whole rumors about the fact that now that whole neighborhood, that side of the island has been destroyed, are they going to give the people their land back and let them rebuild? Or are they going to now use that for business property? Are they going to make money off of that? And there's some people who say corporations and government is coming in, and since it's raised, it's down, it's leveled, let's start and make an economic base out of it, which would make all the people who owned property there.
You can't just steal their money. Well, they steal their land.
They would get compensated, but they wouldn't be offered their land back.
I don't think you mean eminent domain kind of thing?
I think so.
Well, I tell you, if that happens, that's not going to put conspiracy theories to rest, because there have been people saying that that was what was coming ever since that occurred.
Yeah.
Because that whole part of that island was, as you said, razed to the ground.
Yeah.
When are the climate change folks going to say we've reached a point of no return?
They've been saying that for years, haven't they?
No, they always got something you can do,
yeah,
to make a difference, to turn back the clock, so to speak, or to resist climate change. It's all a big sham.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a big sham because they keep, as I've mentioned before, here's what they do. I'm talking about the, quote, climate change activist. Mm-hmm. They always say whatever it is that's going to happen is 5 to 10 years out in the future. That way they can make people think that you can do something right now to stop the hurricanes 5 years from now.
Right.
Right. So quit driving your SUV, quit using gas stoves, quit farming cattle, whatever it is that they want to come up with where you can, where Americans alone basically right. can change the trajectory of climate change. The big globe. Where America's a tiny little part of. And by the way, we have the cleanest environment in the world and the strictest standards on pollution and emissions and all those things. If climate change is caused by man, we're doing our part. All right. But we can't control India or China, who don't care, basically,
right,
about the same kind of rules and regulations we put ourselves under, or standards we put ourselves under. So, but what these left-wing political climate change activists do in America, they keep dangling this, unachievable goal out there and say to Americans, you must do all the sacrificing so that we can stop the fires in Hawaii and stop the hurricanes from hitting Florida because of climate change.
Well, okay, so there have been hurricanes hitting Florida for centuries. There have been fires. California, just a couple years ago, had a huge fire. There have been droughts. Nothing is happening in the world that hasn't happened a whole bunch before. But listen to the language that they're using. A while ago, it was climate change. Then it became the climate emergency. And now it's the climate crisis.
Right.
They keep ramping up
the rhetoric to
keep people scared, but nothing has changed.
Okay, here's what they need to say if they're going to be true to themselves. They need to say this. Al Gore needs to come out and say, listen, people, I warned you 20 years ago. Now it's too late. We're going to suffer the consequences of climate change, and we've gone beyond the point of no return. There's nothing we can do about it. So I don't have anything else to say about what we can do, because we can't do anything. The die has been cast. So
I'm going to sell my homes on the beach, and I'm going to sell my plane.
Why won't they say that, Ed? Because they were warning us 10, 20 years ago, if we didn't do A, B, and C, it was over.
What they would say is, we can minimize the damage. It's probably too late to completely stop it, but we can minimize the damage.
Okay. What,
kind of like if you get your vaccine, you might still get COVID, but it won't be as dangerous.
What they're saying is, we haven't wrung 100% of the power we can get out of all this right. crisis, so we're right. going to keep going.
Well, and these guys people are who are saying this want to stop flying their private jets and riding on their private yachts and, live like the rest of us, then I'll believe them.
Right.
But until then, all they're trying to do is, quote, control the little people, right?
Yep. That's right. Little people like us.
All right.
We're not going to take it anymore.
These are the little people signing off. See you tomorrow.